I'm the doctor, by the way.
You're listening to Pieces of Eight, the Doctor Who podcast that loves the joy of six. I said six because this is our sixth season. We're back for another run to look at those sections of the Doctor Who universe that feature the incarnation of the Time Lord, as played by Paul McGann. I'm Rebecca Chapman.
And I'm Kenny Smith. Sorry, I almost forgot who I was there. You join us as we resume our quest to feature the Eighth Doctor's exploits, whether on screen in books, novellas, full cast audios, short stories, comics, animations, talking books, magazines, and more. Do you know, normally I can say that off the top of my head, but it's been a wee while.
It has, but we are back at last. What have you been up to since we last shared an episode with our listeners? You know, let's pretend that I don't know what you've been doing.
Well, I've been working hard in the day job, and I'm co-hosting our podcast at Healthcare Improvement Scotland, but I suspect that's not what you really mean. I think there's probably two things that spring to mind. Number one would be my trip to Gallifrey in February, out to Los Angeles. And we got loads of content, including today's episode, out of it.
No, I know, but
you weren't
I'm
there.
Very jealous.
Yeah, I know. But you couldn't, well, you were in the second trimester at that point, weren't you, in February?
Yeah.
We should point out that you are still pregnant.
I am still very pregnant.
As we exclusively revealed at in episode 5.1 about the Eight Doctors. So how's your pregnancy coming along?
I have never hated anything more. I wish that I could be one of those people that's like, oh, it's so lovely. It's not. I'm not having fun.
No.
I would like it to be over now.
Yes, but hey, not long to go. Not long to go as we speak. It's going to be a month or so. But we better tell the listeners that over that this run has pretty much been recorded in advance, because obviously you'll be on your podcast maternity leave for a wee while. So we're going to try and get this whole season recorded before the baby arrives. But we'll see how that goes. But we may have to record extra stuff to drop in when the bab is here. But yes, I went to Gallifrey, met loads of lovely people, hung out there, met quite a few of our listeners. We got a mention in a panel. There was a panel all about Eighth Doctor books, and somebody who didn't know I was there, I was in the audience, and he was saying there's this great podcast out there called Pieces of Eighth, which is dedicated to the Eighth Doctor, and mentioned the fact that we went through the first 18 of the buggers. And that was really cool. So then I got to put my hand up and say, well, actually, I'm Kenny from Pieces of Eighth, and thank you for your kind words for Becca and I. So there we go. That was kind of fun. But the other thing,
that's really sweet.
It was lovely. I met loads of great people, and obviously we're going to hear them, a few of the people we've chatted to over the course of this series. But also, the other thing that I've done was, back at the start of this month, was I was in studio for Big Finish for an Eighth Doctor story.
Ooh.
But obviously I can't say what it is because it's not been announced yet. But let's just say that I spent some time with some fab people, some fun people, laughed a lot. And I think we're going to have a pretty good episode, which will probably, it'll be probably before the end of the year. I'm sure we'll no doubt be sharing what I was at and discussing it. I've got the script for it over there, actually. But you can see where I'm pointing, but nobody else can. But yeah, it's over there. But yes, that was great fun, and I look forward to be able to share more about it further down the line. So yeah, that's just a couple of things. Yeah. Oh, and I've also brought back the Power of Three podcast. It's been back with an episode most weeks for the last 6-7 weeks. So if you've got spare time, everybody, please pop over and listen to that. In fact, we had an episode out yesterday as we listen, talking about the Doctor Who exhibition in Edinburgh, where you can see the Eighth Doctor sonic screwdriver.
Mm-hmm. Is this because of the fact that you've been missing recording our podcast too much, Kenny?
To be honest, it probably is, yes. because we needed a wee break, given that we had 25 episodes out in December and one in January. So yeah, there was a fair bit of time spent in that. So a little break is good. But anyway, it's lovely to see you again.
It is lovely to see you again. It's been a long time.
It has. I'm waving and doing jazz hands, listeners, so... Anyway,
yes.
So that's what we've been up to. But also, before we move on and start this week's episode, recorded live in America, or part of it, we've had some feedback from one listener who got in touch to politely request that we cut down on the amount of innuendo that we have. And I don't know about you, Becca, but once you start slipping one in, you just want to keep going, don't you?
Oh, I know. They just go in and out all the time.
Yeah, and it gets really, really hard. I mean, so hard, because you're just having so much fun doing them.
I mean, that's the thing. Once you've given me one, I don't want you to stop, because it just brings me so much pleasure.
Yeah, and of course, since the listener has asked that we cut out the smutty humour, then we shall do our best to ensure that no childish, innuendo-laden moments feature this season. No promises, but we'll try very, very hard.
Yes, we just need to make sure that we get them all out as early as possible. But listeners, do keep abreast to find out how we do by tuning in each episode.
Absolutely. So thank you for clarifying that for us as well, Beck. So today's episode takes us into comics territory, which is an era that we've not ventured into too often. Our second episode ever covered a matter of life and death from Titan Comics. So I think it's about time we went back in there, isn't it?
It is indeed. It's been a very long time. And you know how much I love my comics.
I know you do.
So today we're going to be covering Empire of the Wolf, which was originally released in four parts from the 17th of November 2021 until the 9th of February 2022, the day after my birthday.
It's true.
Before being released as a trade paperback in May last year.
And since we don't have any audio clips to bring you to illustrate the story, Becca, would you fire up that reading voice of yours and tell us what the back cover blurb has to say?
I will do my best. It's been a very long time. An incredible new graphic novel that brings together the 8th and 11th Doctors in a time-twisting tale featuring two Rose Tylers. While searching for his next adventure, the 8th Doctor meets a strange young woman from another universe, Rose Tyler. He has no idea of the destiny they share, but makes it his mission to discover what brought her here and how to get her home. Meanwhile, the 11th Doctor is summoned by a mysterious Empress plagued with visions of another life. It's Rose Tyler, but not the one he knows. Hailing from an alternate timeline and trapped here alone, she has become a liberator, conqueror, and now Empress. And when she finds out she's not the only Rose in this universe, something must be done. All hail the Bad Wolf. Bursting straight out of the long-running hit television series, this Doctor Who collection continues the time-travelling tales of the Doctor and friends.
I like it. That's so good. It's also good. I've got the copy here, and it's got some extra details on the back page, which tells us that from acclaimed writer Jodie Houser, Stranger Things Supergirl, and fan favourite artist Roberta Ingranata, Witchblade, comes an all-new interstellar adventure featuring the 11th Matt Smith and 8th Paul McGann Doctors appearing together in comic form for the first time. So it's two Doctors, two Rose Tylers, one imminent reality-shattering paradox. So yes, let's find out how the whole thing came about by hearing from Titan's Jake Devine, who was the editor on the project.
Hi, so I'm Jake Devine, I'm group editor at Titan Comics, and I'm the current editor of Doctor Who.
Jake, welcome to Pieces of Eight. It's a delight to have you here and joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, pleasure to be here.
I have just wondered if you could maybe tell us, when did you first become aware of the Eighth Doctor?
So quite early on, actually. It's probably the first memory I have of Doctor Who is actually the Eighth Doctor TV movie. And it's funny because it was sort of before I was aware of what Doctor Who was. And it's only sort of looking back as now, you know, becoming a Doctor Who fan when it sort of relaunched in 2005, that it's weird that it's still in my memory. And look, I've connected the dots and go, oh, so that was Doctor Who. That was the Eighth Doctor. You know, it's weird how I remember it visually and only becoming a fan later on, putting the pieces together. It's quite interesting.
That scares me to think you're that young. I queued up for a midnight opening at HMV in Edinburgh.
So, oh, wow.
Oh, happy times and places. Happy times and places. So how long have you been in the post?
I started Doctor Who Comics 2019, I think. So I've been at Titan since 2017, and then around this time in 2019, I took over as the editor for Doctor Who.
Yeah. So we've had this Doctor in one previous book, and it went down very, very well. So you must have been delighted to bring him back now. So what inspired his return?
So it's sort of when we were doing sort of where we wanted to take the comic forward. Obviously, we had a run of 13th Doctor comics, and then we were sort of, what can we do sort of next to, you know, try and find, to sort of shake it up, you know, get people going, oh, well, this is really cool, do something that no one else was sort of doing. And we ended up sort of doing a Missy focused comic, you know, that where the Doctor, you know, took a back seat and Missy became the focus. And that went down really well. And we did that sort of as a, she teamed up with the first Master. So we did that as a sort of Master anniversary year. That was the 50 years anniversary. And so as so that was sort of a success, we sort of tried to think, oh, can we do similar, in a similar vein? And also that year, it was the 25th anniversary since the TV movie, and we thought, oh, that could be a nice little hook to go into. And we haven't done, you know, a lot with the previous Doctors, you know, like, so we did one graphic novel of the Eighth Doctor, and we thought, well, you know, here's a good time to sort of bring him back. And so that sort of came the foothold of starting the Empire of the Wolf storyline.
Yeah, because I noticed that it's quite a nice way of bringing together effectively somebody who's regarded as sort of that bridge between the old series and the new in terms of the style of it all. But then you've got obviously the 11th Doctor in there and Rose. So you've pretty much tied together the 8th Doctor, the 9th Doctor, 10th Doctor Eris, plus the 11th as well.
Yeah, it's a lot of ingredients, you know. So we sort of, I said, the foothold of the 8th Doctor, and then sort of took that idea to Jodie and so what can we do? And she came up with the idea of teaming him up with the 11th. And I think she did that amazingly with the sort of character arcs there. You've got him before the war and the 11th sort of after leaving Rose, and that dynamic there between the two different Roses and two different experiences of Rose before and after, which is really interesting. And I really love the way that, so she brought in the idea of bringing back the Rose from our previous story, Alternating Current. One thing that Jodie has done really well with the comics is sort of create her own sort of comics universe. You know, she introduced a couple of characters, to Time Agents, who sort of recur in that as well. And then when we did Alternating Current, she, you know, created this alternate Rose. And we discussed after that, you know, there was a couple of different ideas floating about, but she said she always wanted to sort of bring that character back in, you know, and this was a great way of doing that. And not just her, but original Rose as well. So yeah, a lot of ingredients, a lot of stuff going on, but it all, you know, fits together really well, which was very happy with.
Yeah, I mean, Jodie's pretty much become the go-to writer for the Titan Comics at the moment, hasn't she?
Yeah, I mean, we just love what she's doing. She nails the characters so well, and no matter who we throw at her, you know, she started off with 13, we've thrown in 10, she's done Missy now, and now 8 and 11, and she hits the beach every time.
Yeah. So how does the whole process work when it comes to picking, you've got your writer, so when it comes to picking your artist, and in this case, Roberta, how do you pair writers and artists up?
So, I mean, in a general sense, so I was, they were sort of the team that was picked when I came on board. So I'd sort of, you know, around issue 10, 11, I think I came on board. So they were our current 13th Doctor writer and artist. But in a general sense, you know, we tend to try and, like you say, match writers and artists. So if you're going for like a horror sort of comic, you try and find someone who's really good at writing horror and then match them with someone who's equally as good at doing horror style illustrations. And I think in this instance, Jodie does a fantastic job at writing characters, like, so Doctor Who characters. She also does, you know, like Stranger Things. So nailing characters that already exist, I should say. And Roberta, again, is really good at bringing the facial expressions, and in her sort of style of taking on these already existing characters that you know what they look like, but doing it in her style, so you're still seeing something unique, but it captures very subtly, you know, their expressions and the way they look and the way they react in the same way you would see on TV. So yeah, I think they make a fantastic pair. And then, as I said, I came on board for 13th Doctor, and, you know, moving on from that, I think we were in love with so much of what they're doing, and Jodie captures the world so well, and Roberta works off of Jodie's script so well that, you know, why would you break that up?
Absolutely. I think that's that really leapt out at me was the fact you can hear Paul McGann sing it, you can hear Matt Smith sing it, you can hear Billy Piper sing it, and then the look of it as well is stunning. I mean, you must have been in heaven the first time you got to see this all combined and brought together in the one package.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the best parts of this job is, you know, seeing all the back stages of, you know, creating a comic. And I love, you know, seeing it from script and then seeing in Roberta's layouts. And like, sometimes sometimes it can be quite rough and you think, okay, you're just doing the layout designs. And then other times you see something that's been really, really well thought out and specifically designed a certain way. And then seeing the next stage of it finalized in the inks and colors, it just sometimes really does like take your breath away. You have to remember in this job, you know, while I'm working as an editor, I still get to be a comic fan at the same time. And so yeah. seeing the artwork and seeing it all come in, it's really cool.
Yep. In fact, just give me a second as I dash over to my site here, as I'm just going to get my copy. There we go. Yeah. Just to prove that I'm not talking nonsense, I did buy my copy. And it's incredible. And I particularly love all the variant covers. That must be fun for you to commission as well, just to get many different styles.
Yeah. I mean, another fun thing about it is just seeing how many different people can capture the essence of the comic and the characters and the variations of styles and artwork. You know, it's so cool, and coming up with the different designs. You know, some people go for like a more action type cover, someone will do more of a pose type cover, and it's just really cool to see the variations.
Yeah, I particularly like the fact we get to see a bit in there, like the art process. It's almost a CD or a making of documentary at the back there, which I just love that sort of thing. And just seeing all the fact that the combination with the graphic novel puts everything together, and you get to see all these variations, which you maybe have missed when you were in the shop, because I know I haven't seen them all in Forbidden Planet in Glasgow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad you like that, because again, myself as a comic fan, even before I was an editor, you know, I'd love to see all the behind the scenes stuff wherever they have it. And again, it's just something extra that you can have in that. So if you're, you know, reading the comics issue by issue, and if you want to see more, you know, you do get a bit of bonus content in the graphic novel, which I think a lot of people appreciate. And I know myself as a comic reader, I always love it.
Yeah. And how has it gone down with readers from the feedback that you've had so far?
Yeah, I mean, it's gone down really well. I mean, I think a lot of people are, like you, excited about seeing 8 and 11 team up, and also seeing Rose back again. You know, I don't think people can ever get enough of Rose.
Yeah. And looking to the future, could there be more of this pairing? We've had an awful lot of the 10th Doctor and the 13th Doctor together. So is that something we could maybe see a bit more of, boys on a road trip?
Yeah, I mean, I'd never put anything off the table. I think that the one of the amazing things about Doctor Who is anything can happen. So, you know, it could be 8 and 11, you know, it could be, you know, Rose come back again with a Rose adventure. It could be back to Missy, you know, anything could happen. So keep your eyes peeled.
Yeah. Or as John Nathan Turner used to say in the 80s, stay tuned. And also you'll be surprised and delighted. So I look forward to being surprised and delighted. Jake, absolutely. It's been a joy. Thanks very much for coming on and having a chat with us.
No problem. Thanks a lot.
Now, we've been trying to get hold of Jodie for more than 6 months, and finally the stars aligned completely by chance. Kenny, tell us more.
Yes, I noticed before I went out to Gallifrey that Jodie was going to be in attendance, because we had been trying to get a chat fixed up for ages and ages and ages, and it just never happened. We just couldn't get times and dates to align, because Jodie is to align, as Jodie's super busy. So, and when I noticed she was there, I thought, this is a good chance to say hello. So I went up and said hello to her when I was out there, and see what I had with me.
Ooh. Yeah,
I had my copy of the graphic novel version, and you know, I'm not normally one to get things signed, but on this occasion I'll let myself. You can't really see it there, but yeah, I've got it signed for Kenny! JH. The top of the J going across the way intercepts with the H, so it's sort of quite a stylish autograph. So yeah, it's been initialized. So, and I got Katie's graphic novel of a Stranger Things book signed for her as well, so that was rather good. So yeah, I managed to get a chat fixed up out there and had a really good natter, and now live from the Marriott at LAX, let's hear from Jodie Houser.
Hi, I'm Jodie Houser. I write lots of comics, including Doctor Who for Titan, and especially including, for this conversation, Empire of the Wolf.
Were you quite a big Doctor Who fan, would it be fair to say, when you first got the commission to work on the various Titan comics?
Yes, and funny enough, the first time I watched anything Doctor Who was the TV movie with the Eighth Doctor, because that was the first very like easily accessible release in the US. And I knew people who grew up watching, especially like the Fourth Doctor, Doctor on PBS, but I hadn't been exposed to it when I was younger, so knowing that this was coming up and seeing commercials for it, I'm like, I'll check this thing out, and I loved the character of the Doctor. I was maybe so-so on the movie itself, but the Doctor himself and Paul McGann's performance was really riveting, and I hadn't quite seen a character like that before, and so when the newer series launched over here, originally on Sci-Fi, I did tune in and start watching from the Ninth Doctor.
That is amazing. It's funny, isn't it, how something just gets your attention and it sticks with you.
Yeah.
And you just need to find out more and keep going and going.
Yeah, so, and obviously there was a bit of a break between the two, but you know, it's like you don't forget your first Doctor.
Exactly.
Ever.
You never forget your first love. So I grew up with, I was actually born 11 days after Tom Baker became the Doctor. So he was June the 8th at the end of Planet of Spiders, episode 6, and I was born June the 19th, 1974. So that's the thing, you know your Doctor Who birthday someday, so it's quite tragic. So how did you get into the whole business of writing comics?
I actually started out just doing fun little web comics online because I moved out to LA with the hopes of becoming a screenwriter, but you know, so do a lot of people. And I wanted to be able to point to something that I was doing regularly and being like, no, look, I'm actually making work. And I had a lot of friends in grad school who were in the webcomic scene, so I thought I'd try that out because I really liked all their work and it seemed like a lot of fun. And I can't really draw, so I was I sort of drew some little cartoon stuff and was reusing the same art over and over. And I ended up doing that for about 9 years total. But that way I was, you know, I had work that was being published online on a weekly basis, and that actually sort of got me into comic conventions for the first time because being a webcomic creator counted as getting me a professional badge, like a Comic-Con. And after that, I was sort of dabbling with comic scripting because it was one of the only things I didn't get to study in grad school. I studied screenwriting and playwriting and prose and writing profile pieces, children's books, like everything. But comics wasn't something they had classes in yet. And I'd been reading comics since I was a kid and loved them. So I started trying to learn the format and, you know, dabbling in that a little bit just for fun. And then the opportunity came up. I saw some tweets that were asking if writers wanted to submit pitches for some comic anthologies that were going to be funded on Kickstarter. So I applied for some of those and got in. And my very first published story, half of it was drawn by Fiona Staples. And that anthology came out the same day as Saga Number 1. So,
amazing.
Because, you know, as a newbie comic writer, you don't really show editor scripts or anything, because unlike a comic artist, you can like look through a comic artist's portfolio and get an idea of their strengths and weaknesses as an artist, but if you look at it, every script basically looks the same. It's a bunch of words on a page. But when you have published art, or a story with published art, it's a lot easier to get a feel for how the writer works in the format. So, and the fact that I had a story that Fiona Staples had drawn part of, editors are like, oh, I'll actually look at this. Like, your writing might be crap, but I love Fiona. I want to see more of her art. So that sort of got me in the door with doing some shorter stories for DC and Marvel, and then eventually, like, single issues, and then eventually miniseries. And the first big miniseries I wrote was the Orphan Black comics for IDW. So, and it sort of took off from there.
That is incredible. And it must be such a buzz when you've gone from having your content online to actually having a physical product, and one that you can show to friends and family, especially say, I'm legit, this is what I do.
Yeah, the first time like a trade paperback collection came out and my name was actually like on the spine, it was just, it's still surreal. I have a whole shelf of those now and it's still weird. I mean, it's great, but it's just, it's a little, it's, it never stops being a little weird.
Yeah, I mean, I had that because I wrote The Big Finish Companion Volume 2 many years ago. And the day that, because I was told, right, here we are, we've got, I'm showing pictures up, and I was like, oh, that's great. But it was the day that it actually physically, they said 10 copies arrived to my office, and I was like, bloody hell. I just like, and I just stared and looked at it. I couldn't open it. I just looked at it and just, wow.
Yeah,
it's, like, it's
once,
real.
Once it becomes actually tactile, then
that's
it's it. Like, it feels like it could just vanish
yes.
into the ether.
It's
that.
Surreal. So how did the involvement with Titan begin?
Well, it's funny because Titan had actually approached me at a con like many years ago, around the time I was doing Orphan Black, and I gave them my card, but I didn't follow up because I was so intimidated. I was like, if they really want me to write some Doctor Who, they'll reach out to me. And we didn't really connect at that point, but then I was actually in the UK to do Thought Bubble, which is amazing, amazing con- convention, and I was hanging out in London for a bit with some folks, and Chris Thompson, who at the time was working at Titan, chatted with me, and again, sort of approached me about writing for Doctor Who, and at that point I'd done much more license work, and I felt much more confident that I could actually pull it off, so I said yes, and I came on board with the start of 13.
And it must have been Jodie doing Jodie. I always thought that always made me smile when it was announced that, yeah, that just worked. There's something
I feel like I got typecast a little bit writing a Jodie, but...
But you spell it the correct way, though.
Yeah, I spell it the correct way. With a Y.
Exactly. I mean, when you came to... So you've done quite a few. So how did Empire of the Wolf originally come about?
Okay, so we had done a couple crossover Doctor events. There was the first one with 10 and 13, and that caused a paradox, and then there was another crossover with 10 and 13 where they sort of had to fix the paradox they made from their first team-up. And the way time travel shenanigans are always a little tricky because you always sort of make up the rules a little bit that fit the story best. And long story short, at the end of the story arc called Alternating Currents, I ended up with an extra Rose Tyler because I realized the rules I'd created for the specific paradox meant that the people who had gone through time travel wouldn't be erased when reality was reverted back to an Earth not, you know, conquered by sea devils. So we had a Rose Tyler who grew up on a conquered Earth, who was a revolutionary and didn't really have a fight anymore. So the Doctor dropped her off on a planet that needed her help, essentially, a place where she could be a hero. So I always wanted to go back to her because I figured like it would be amazing to see where she went like after a decade or two, right? And I didn't know that was going to be for the next story arc, but we ended up bringing back this Rose who had sort of freed so many planets she accidentally built an empire, but because she's essentially from a paradox, there ends up being a strange connection between her and the original Rose that we know, who has now like had a life with Metacrisis 10, and they have a daughter, and she's closer to the age Jackie was when Rose first started having her adventures with the Doctor, and original Rose gets pulled back into our reality because of the connection with the paradox Rose. And at the time I was pitching the story, it was around the time of the anniversary of the Eighth Doctor, and Titan really wanted to do a story with the Eighth Doctor, and I ended up realizing it would be really cool to do a story with Rose, with the Doctor before she met the Doctor, and then the Doctor right after she met the Doctor. So that's why it ended up being 8 and 11 with the anniversary, but then also, you know, we did want a second Doctor again in the story, and I just really liked that framing. So we see, like, just how different the Doctor was after his adventures with Rose. And it's also 11 at kind of his darkest, because it's right after he's lost Amy and Rory, and he's not dealing with that well. You know, so this is before he, like, has his adventures and meets Claw and everything, and is hiding up in the clouds. He tries to go on a vacation and pretend he doesn't care about anything, and then, of course, just gets pulled into this chaos.
Yeah,
as per usual.
Yeah, and you've got so well captured to go to the 11th Doctor's voice we know so well. So how did you find about capturing the 8th Doctor's voice?
I mean, what I did really was, like, you know, I obviously went back to the movie, which was so formative for me, but just dipping in and out of some of the Big Finish audios too, and I don't think I specifically listen to full story as much as clips from different ones to just sort of get a feel for his voice again and make sure that it wasn't sounding too much like 11, especially here with the other I wanted to sort of capture the, because he has a, especially earlier on, more of a lightness to him, and I wanted that to sort of be the contrast with 11 being just sort of sharper, especially.
Yeah, because I think that you've definitely got that reading, so you can hear it's the early McGann. He's got that bouncy, like the tigerish feel to him, and it comes across, and it can so hear him saying it. I love, you can get an audio adaptation. Are you listening, Big Finish?
I would love that so much.
So let's chat about when you write about, I mean, how many pages does a standard comic come to for you?
It depends on the publisher, but they tend to be between 20 and 22 pages, and Doctor Who has been 22 pages. So we do get a little more space in the story. And I especially like that because when you have this many characters and they're all characters that you really care about and want to see more of, I want to have the space to have those sort of quieter moments where they just sort of get to talk and be themselves. And, you know, you sort of have those great conversation scenes around the TARDIS console. And that's where so much of the character moments that we love come from.
Yeah. And when did you find out you'd be working with Roberta on this one?
Roberta, she came on board, I'm trying to remember, I think it was around issue 6 of the original run, because we'd been working with Rachel Stott when the book kicked off, and then Rachel ended up getting some Marvel work and could not say no to that. So Roberta's actually been the one I've worked with the longest on Doctor Who, and Aaron was also coloring at that time, and they've done most of the coloring on Doctor Who until like the most recent stories up through Missy, I believe. But yeah, so this at this point, you know, this team had been working together on at least 4 or 5 story arcs, so I think we were pretty well in sync at that point.
Yeah, there's something I've always wondered, because they're all the variant covers, when you get sent copies, do you get sent all of them?
Yes, I do get copies of all the variant, like the outside of the main cover, it's usually maybe only 2 copies, 1 or 2 copies, but yeah, I do get copies of all. I have so many Doctor Who comics in my library because I try to keep like one of every cover, but especially that first issue with 13, they did 13 standard covers, and then there was all the event releases and comic shop releases. It was crazy how many covers that book had. I think it was about 25 total.
But it's so lovely to have those. It's wonderful. I'm glad that, I mean, it must be a real buzz for you knowing that people all over the world are reading these and enjoying them. And it's, and obviously I'm over in Scotland and absolutely love getting it. I mean, this is getting the, like, the compilation is always lovely. Getting the individuals is great, but just there's something about having it as a proper book.
Yeah,
that just makes
it goes on a shelf, and I'm definitely a fan of trades over single issues, even though single issues are so important for the health of the market in its current state. So you always have to push people to support the book by buying single issues. But I'm definitely someone who prefers trades in terms of sitting down and reading.
Yeah. In terms of all the Doctor you've done, where does Empire of the Wolf sit in your head? Is it one of your favorites?
It's definitely one of my favorites because I didn't know if I'd be allowed to do it. I didn't know if this crazy story with 2 Rose Tylers would get approved. I didn't know if I'd be able to show like some of Rose's life in Pete's universe and like her daughter with Metacrisis 10. I was just like, yeah, I'm just throwing this all in and they can approve it or not. And it got approved. And I was like, okay, great. Cool.
Yeah. So we've had... there was a previous one with the 8th Doctor to this. We've obviously got some here in Empire of the Wolf. Would you like to do more? I'm not asking if you are doing one, but would you like to do more with the 8th Doctor?
I would totally love to do more. Like, I mean, you could probably ask me that of any Doctor, and I would say yes. And, you know, there's a few Doctors I haven't gotten to write yet, so...
Yeah, tick them off first.
I would maybe tick them off the list first, but yeah, I would love to. There's something about Paul's Doctor, and I think, again, it goes back to just the impression I got originally of the Doctor in the movie, but there's sort of like a gentleness to him that I really like, and I think it does contrast nicely when he's teaming up with other Doctors who are a little bit more like
I think that obviously the fact you said to listen to the Big Finish stuff is, I think it definitely helps to sort of find a bit more of a direction for him, so you're not just he's the guy who's only just got his memory back and still finding himself, but what Big Finish have done is given him his identity, and you kept it going, so thank you for that.
Thank you. I mean, it's funny because this Doctor that so many people think was only in one thing, it's like he's really the longest running Doctor for so many people, and I'm really glad that we got to showcase him in a visual medium again, so we get to see him apart from just hearing him.
Jodie, thank you so much for your time. It's been lovely.
Thank you.
Empire of the Wolf seems to have gone down quite well. It's had 78 reviews on Amazon with a 4.5 out of 5 rating. And given how picky Doctor Who fans can be, I'd say that means it's gone down pretty well.
We would absolutely agree. It's very, very good. Great script. I mean, I've not been following the comic as much as I'd like to have done, just with other things going on in real life. And It's just not possible to follow everything, much as I wish I could. But we have, yeah, great book. It's good script, and it, you know, it's made clear as to just where this other Rose has come. We had hoped to try and get hold of Roberta, the artist, for a chat, but unfortunately, it's just been impossible to get hold of her. I think she's had a lot of stuff going on in real life, and she's actually in Italy, so English isn't her first language, and I think she was a wee bit worried about that, but we wouldn't have minded. But you know, it's her art is, you know, instantly recognisable. You can see her, you got very much a recognisable. I'll put the light on, so you can see very much a recognisable Matt there.
He wears a fez.
He does. He wears a fez throughout, actually. His fez is familiar. And yeah, there's, of course, it's not just the two of them. We also get the Metacrisis tenant pops up there as well.
Oh, nice.
And of course, we do get the whole reason we're here. Our boy, Mr. McGann.
Mr. McGann.
Yeah, the art is good. It's quite a lot of it. I think it's sort of derived, you can sort of recognize the photos that they've been taken from, but you know, everybody's got their own style, isn't it? I think she does a very good quizzical look on him. There's not a lot of the whole console room, though, you sort of like, because it is quite big and complex, so it tends to be sort of shaded out and get it dropping into the background. But you know, it's a great read. It's the compilation, trying to see how much it is. God, I can't remember. It's oh, there we go. It's $14.99 UK, $23.99 in Canada, and $17.99 in the US. And I'm sure you'll be able to get it in Australia and other places where we have listeners, including Belgium, too. Oh, I've mentioned Belgium. We better say it, haven't we?
Hi, Tina.
Hello, Tina. Who's over in the UK quite soon at a convention in mid-May. So maybe meet up, say hello if I'm over there. Anyway, yeah, I'd say it's a damn good read. I've really enjoyed it. And thanks again to Jodie for her time out at Galley.
Definitely. Quick notice, I too have failed to read and keep up with the comics, so if anyone wants to send me a list of all the comics that there are that I can go and buy, I have a lot of sleepless nights coming up, so I would appreciate this.
Oh, actually, something that I can recommend is that your local Forbidden Planet had a whole load of the graphic of the Titan comics for 99p, because when I was down a couple of months ago, I spent like £8 and got 8 comics, so I'd recommend that. But also we should point out that one of the side things with your pregnancy is that you've lost the ability to read.
I have. This is the problem with having ADHD. My concentration levels were never there very well anyway. But then to be pregnant and struggle with the concentration because of the pregnancy.
Yeah, because I know that you said you struggled to read this one. Yeah. Fingers crossed that once the little one's out, then you'll be back to your voracious appetite for words.
I hope so.
I'm sure you will. I'm sure.
I'm still managing to read a book a week, but that's not a lot for me.
So. Yeah, you in the past you've been sort of like a book a day or every 2 days, so yeah.
Yeah, which is sad.
No.
But it is what it is. If you've enjoyed Pieces of Eighth today, or indeed like any episode we've done, and I know it's been a while, so you might need to re-listen. Please do leave a review for us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from, as it means more people can find our episodes, and it's always appreciated.
And we'll be back next week with another episode, this time looking at No More Lies, the 8th Doctor adventure featuring Sheridan Smith as Lucy Miller alongside McGann's Doctor. And we have another first, as Paul Sutton, the writer, is going to join us to chat about this one, a rather brilliant and emotional tale from 2007. So until next time, I've been Kenny Smith.
And I was Rebecca Chapman.
Bye-bye.
Bye.